these on so I can actually read the darn thing. All right, evening everyone. All good? Good week. Crows have had some success after a bit of ups and downs. What does success look like to you guys though? Certain amount of money? Maybe a job or career? Having that perfect husband or wife and 2.5 kids? Maybe you're a bit younger, doing well at school. Maybe getting into a uni course you need to get into, or passing the uni course. Maybe it's sport. What's success look like to you? We've been looking at the life of Joseph, a man who had some success, but also found himself in some pretty hopeless situations too. So we'll just have a brief recap of some of the highlights and lowlights of Joseph's life, just to set the context here. So we know Joseph, he started out well, son of Jacob, who's pretty well off, and he was the golden child, the special one, got special attention from his dad, gave him this fancy coat that really jacked off his brothers, got them a bit jealous. And then, just to top things off, Joseph decided to do a little bit of oversharing about a dream he had about his brothers bowing down and worshipping him. And that got them the brothers even more agitated, to the point where they actually wanted to kill him. And then they changed their mind, decided to sell him off as a slave, and he ended up going to Egypt as a slave. And he ended up in the house of a guy called Potiphar, one of Pharaoh's chief officials. Now you would have think that a person could have had a pretty bitter attitude in that whole situation. I mean, you may well know some people in, sort of, say, a work environment who have a negative attitude, that don't want to be there. They don't have a choice, but they just do whatever minimum they can do to get by. But they're not happy. Joseph certainly could have been justified in being unhappy and whinging and complaining about his situation. Rather than being negative, he remains faithful to God and he's diligent in his work. And God enables him to work his way up and be put in charge of Potiphar's household. So he's gone from a high to a real low, and now he's back up on a bit of a high. So life's looking up. Thinks God's taken care of him. When Potiphar's wife accuses him of rape, and so he gets thrown into jail. Now he's even worse off than when he was a slave. Forgotten, rotting in jail for something he didn't do, would have to be the absolute pits. If ever there was a situation where wallowing in self-justification was justified, something like this was probably it. Yet even in jail, we read that in chapter 39, verse 21 of Genesis, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favour in the eyes of the prison warden. So Joseph was put in charge of all those in hell prison and is held responsible for all that was done there. God was with him, but it was a two-way street. Joseph would hardly have been shown favour if he'd been really negative and uncooperative in his attitude. Nonetheless, Joseph was still abandoned in that dungeon for a couple of years, but he remained faithful to God. And though he couldn't do anything about his situation, he could control his attitude. He allowed God to work in him through that situation. And while all seemed hopeless, God did have a plan. After a number of years, we know that Pharaoh had the dreams, and his magicians couldn't work out what it was all about, couldn't interpret it. But Pharaoh's cupbearer remembered that, oh, hang on, I was in a jar with this guy called Joseph, and he could interpret dreams. So he told this to the Pharaoh, and Pharaoh summoned Joseph, and God enabled Joseph to be able to interpret the dream. Not only that, but he gave Joseph the wisdom to be able to offer advice on how to deal with the situation of the dream which he had about upcoming famine, that he should save the grain in the good years. And as a result, Pharaoh put Joseph in charge of the whole country to manage the situation. So he went from zero to hero just like that. So he said he's gone up and down, up and down, now he's back up again. And as it was predicted, after a number of years of plenty, the famine came. It was so bad that even Joseph's brothers had to make trips down to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph. They didn't know they were buying it off Joseph. They didn't recognise Joseph, and he didn't tell them. And so they were buying grain off the brother they bought into slavery. And so there's a whole story that goes on there. But we pick up the story where the brothers are in Joseph's house and he is about to announce who he really is. So today's reading from Genesis chapter 45. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before his attendants, and he cried out, "Everyone leave my presence." So it was known with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly, the Egyptians heard him, and Pharaoh's household heard about it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I'm Joseph. Is my father still living?" But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified by his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." And when they'd done so, he said, "I'm your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. Now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there's been a famine in the land, and for the next 5 years, there'll be no ploughing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve you for a remnant on earth to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then, it was not you that sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh and lord of his entire household, ruler over all Egypt. Now hurry back to my father and say to him, 'This is what your son Joseph says. God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come to me, don't delay. You shall live in the region of Goshen and be near me, you and your children and grandchildren, your flocks and your herds, and all you have. I'll provide for you there, because 5 years of famine are still to come. Otherwise, you and your household and all who belong to you will become destitute.'" So, you ever thought why you are here right now? I don't mean sitting in church in Powerful Gardens uniting on a cold winter's night. I mean your life in general. If you've achieved some of that success we talked about earlier, did you manage to achieve it all by yourself? Or did you get some help? How much credit did you give God for it? If things are not going so well, do you feel like God's forgotten you? Maybe you blame God for putting you in this lousy situation for no reason. Joseph had been through some ups and downs, but he knew why he was there. Verse 7 and 8, he said to his brothers, "But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by great deliverance. So then, it was not you that sent me here, but God." I mean, he could rationalize that it was his brothers who sent him there, but he acknowledged ultimately that it was all part of God's plan. He knew his purpose for being there, and that can make all the difference. If you're going through a time of struggle, knowing that there's a purpose, give you a reason to hang on. If you have success, that too can ultimately end up hollow without some greater purpose behind it. So from shepherd to slave, prisoner to ruler of Egypt, fantastic achievement. Joseph has made it, but not of his own doing. God had sent him. It's part of God's plan, a plan that saved Egypt and his family. That family would eventually become the nation of Israel. Although it was God's plan, Joseph still had to do his part, faithfully living the life and doing the job God had set before him. Now, you might say that being made ruler of all Egypt was a fair reward for all the injustices that he'd suffered. He did his time. Now he's entitled to a good life of comfort. I mean, isn't that what we all want? You know, we want to be able to live happy, comfortable lives. And if things aren't going our way, we start blaming God and feeling like we're getting a raw deal in life. But God didn't primarily put Joseph in charge of Egypt for his own comfort and enjoyment. Although God may have taken joy from the blessing Joseph as part of the process, as we saw in verse 7, "But God sent me ahead of you to preserve me for you a remnant on earth to save your lives by a great deliverance." Joseph was there for a purpose, He had a job to do. God was not just there for him in his success, though. He'd been there for him in the tough times too. And you might even see how, even though God probably grieved to see Joseph suffering, it was all part of the plan. I mean, as a slave in the household of a leading Egyptian official, he probably learnt the language and the customs of the Egyptians, which have been invaluable in his new role. As a prisoner in Pharaoh's prison, he met the Pharaoh's cupbearer, who had ultimately introduced Joseph to Pharaoh. And who knows what other parts of Joseph's character and his dependence on God developed in such times of struggle. Joseph knew that he'd been sent there as part of God's plan. But how about you? Do you know that you too are fulfilling God's plan? Not any plan, but a specific, unique plan God has tailored just for you. One of my favourite verses from the Bible, Ephesians 2:10, the Apostle Paul writes, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Isn't that great? We each have a role in the kingdom. We each have a purpose. God has prepared good works specifically for you to do. That's why he put you here on earth. If you're not doing what he put you here for, I mean, to be blunt, or fairly blunt, you're effectively wasting your life. I mean, the average Australian lives 80-odd years. That's just a drop in the ocean of eternity. They say most people are only remembered for two or three generations. You remember your grandparents. You're lucky if you know the name of your great-grandparent. Beyond that, you might find names in a family tree. Unless you do something extraordinary, no one will remember you in 100 years. It's pretty tough. Good news is, wherever you are in your life, however you got there, God can use you to make an impact for eternity. Whatever success God has given you, be that finance, talents, relationships, position, there'll be opportunity to do God's work that he has planned for you. God loves you, and he wants to bless you. But when he blesses you, what he wants you to do with that blessing is to share it and use it for his purposes. Maybe you don't feel like you're much of a success at the moment, though. Maybe you're still chasing your goals, or you feel stuck in a rut. Maybe you can't see a way out. Joseph has been there. You're not an orphan. God has not forgotten you. He still has plans for you. As a parent, I don't want to see bad things happen to my kids. Just as God our Father doesn't want to see bad things happen to us. What could I do to stop bad things happening to my kids? I could stop them ever going out, and I could maybe stop them ever meeting bad people, or to try and do all those things. I mean, I don't think I'd ever actually achieve it. But even if I could, what sort of people would they turn out to be? They won't grow and develop unless they make mistakes and experience disappointments. I mean, as a parent, it can be incredibly hard to see them have disappointments, watch them make mistakes. You can give them advice, but do they listen? I mean, God gives us advice. We always listen to that, don't we? You love them, and at times you'll step in to help, but you can't do it all the time. Part of growing is experiencing not only the consequences of mistakes, but the stuff life throws at them, things that are not fair. But then there is joy when you see how your children cope with situations and how they mature, especially when they demonstrate God's character. And God is the same with us. He doesn't like to see us suffer, but he needs to let us grow. He wants us to have the opportunity to grow our character and to have success in the good works he has prepared for us. And it's not going to happen if we're allowed to cruise through life without any challenges. To be able to succeed in life, to be able to do the good works God has planned for us, we're going to need to have some bad experiences. Think about where God has put you today. All the people you currently connect to, family, friends, work colleagues, teammates, shopping people, the situation you're in at home, work, school, uni, sports, church, social life, and all the life experiences that you bring to those situations, your faith, your spiritual knowledge, your wisdom, most of all God's love. God has brought you to this unique situation. What good works has God prepared for you to be able to do in these situations? Acts of kindness, prayer, sharing faith, generosity, integrity, honesty, and so much more. As Christians, we should be constantly seeking the task God has provided, the opportunity for us. Not because we have to, or to earn favor, or as a condition of salvation, but because that is what God has put us here for on earth. Serving Christ and serving others, doing the work of God that God has provided for us, is what God sent us each here for. Just as Joseph knew God was with him and sent him where he was to carry out the task he had prepared for him, each and every one of you can be confident that God sent you where you are now and God is with you. And there's nothing more worthwhile that you can do with your life than to humbly and faithfully carry out the good works he has prepared in advance for you to do. That is why God sent you where you are in your life right now. If you're blessed with success, enjoy the blessing with God's grace. Acknowledge God as the ultimate source of all blessing. Use the blessing for the good works the Lord has laid before you. Maybe you're not feeling blessed right now. You may feel like a slave to your situation, work, relationships, health, whatever controls or dominates your life today. God still loves you. And just as Joseph wouldn't understand why he was in that situation when he was a slave, he still allowed God to use him in that situation. You may or may not achieve worldly success, but if you're faithful in the tasks God has set before you and how you live your life, you will achieve kingdom success. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you humbly. We thank you that you've put us where you want us. You have sent us here at this time and this place. We ask that you'll guide us and help us to do these good works you've set before us. We thank you that you have a plan for our life. And we just pray that we may be able to faithfully execute that plan and do the good works you have set before us. Amen.
So during this next song, I want you to stand, sit, do what you need to do. Kneel if you have to. Because one of the lines in this song that we're going to sing, it's New Wine, and one of the songs is the lines is "Make me your vessel." And I think it's one thing to say you want to see God use you in your life, but it's another thing to actually ask Him to use you. So as we sing this song, do what you have to do, and just really make this your cry to God to make you His vessel, and to give you the job that He's called you to do. So let's sing.